Hey guys, this is Jonathan. Before we start the show today, I want to come on and apologize for something that we made a joke about in an episode, a couple of episodes ago. It was about the young Nobel Prize winner, Malala Yousafzai. Ben and I were joking about her name and about her winning the prize, and it was from a place of ignorance. We didn't know anything about Malala. We didn't know her story, or truthfully, we didn't know anything, frankly. And so we were making jokes, and a couple of you have reached out and said that you didn't appreciate that and you didn't think that there was anything there to joke about, and pointed me in the direction of her story. So I went and I've reviewed what happened, and I wanted to share what happened to those of you who, like me, are unaware, in an attempt to rectify a little of the levity that we placed on the situation. So Malala is a young activist in Pakistan. One of her aims is women's education and women's rights in Pakistan. And she had become more and more influential as she had been a blogger for the BBC and had had a documentary made about her. And she faced a lot of different death threats. And one day in October of 2012, a Taliban gunman entered her bus and shot her. She was hit, according to the report that I'm looking at, she was hit with one bullet that went through her head and neck and ended in her shoulder. She lived through it, amazingly, incredibly. And as a result of that attack, she's received both national and international an outpouring of sympathy and anger. There's a lot to the story here, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I am going to say that what is most impressive to me is that this young lady has continued her activism even after this event, and she is truly impressive, and it was definitely nothing for us to have been joking about. So I wanted to express our apologies. You guys know that we like to have a good time and we like to goof around, but this was definitely not something that I would have chosen to goof around about had I known what we were laughing about. So thank you for understanding, and let's get on with the show.
Warning: the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here today with a packed house. On my right, Mr. Chris Hollister. How are you doing, my man?
Good morning, everybody. Good early morning, I should say.
It is early morning.
Yes.
We have Carmella with us.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Carmella. We have Mr. Young. How are you today, Benjamin?
I'm getting there, man.
You're on my team today, Ben.
I am.
I'm going to need you to wake up.
I'm going to steal some of Carmella's coffee.
Do I need to give you some of my uppers in my medicine cabinet over there?
Whoa, what?
That would be awesome.
Give you some greenies?
That would be awesome.
Some greenies?
I have a bowl of greenies over there. You just dip your hand in it. It's like an old locker room.
Yep.
And on the line today, we have a very special guest. We have a general.
What?
General Livesey. David, how are you doing today, Woo-hoo! My man?
Howdy, howdy. How's it going?
Welcome to the show, my friend. It's good to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
Now, David, you are our first and only general, so I want to talk a little bit about
that. Besides you, of course. You did self-appoint yourself as a general.
Yeah, you know, I did. Maybe I need to change it.
Maybe it's not lonely at the top anymore. Oh, you could be President Oaks.
I was just about to say, maybe I could be Commander-in-Chief or something like that.
I believe that's known as a dictatorship.
Wow. Despot. Actually, that's actually kind of perfect for Dictator Oaks.
What about Emperor? How do you feel about Emperor?
Oh, that's much closer to it. Yes, you do resemble Palpatine quite a bit.
The Trivial Warfare Empire. We could
make
changes
him cooler
here.
Than he is.
We could make total changes. We could have stormtroopers instead of warheads.
Oh, there you go. Oh yes, God. And Lucas will not sue us whatsoever.
No, of course he wouldn't. So, David, what do you do for a living, man?
So, I work oil and gas. I'm an engineer for an oil and gas company, which is pretty interesting, I guess.
So, what does...
That's amazing is what that is.
There are a lot of different kinds of engineers, right? What kind of engineer are you?
A petroleum engineer. So my job is to my job is to predict how much oil we can get out of the ground safely and with the most profit.
Oh, dude.
So you are what we call
smart.
Smart.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry. I didn't mean to bag your tagline there, but. Dang.
Oh, that's amazing.
What type of engineer did you say you were?
Petroleum.
Petroleum engineer. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, I was talking over him with my joke about not driving trains, wasn't I?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So now, David, as a general, you're actually supporting us in a big way. You're sending us $100 a month, which is huge, right?
Amazing.
You're using your brand new microphone and headphones that are part of the prize pack or part of the reward system for that donation. And that's why you sound so freaking amazing. And
I'd like to think it's more than just the mic.
Oh, very nice. Yes.
Oh, I like his style.
Absolutely.
He thinks I have competition, gentlemen.
Misa thinks so too.
Chris is the Jar Jar Binks of the podcast.
I've thought about that for a very long time. Yes.
So now what's really cool, guys, from a financial perspective, we're getting closer to a big goal, right? We hit the $500 a month mark a little while back, and that's when you guys started getting paid to host. When we hit the $1,000 a month mark, your amount of money for each hosted show is going to go up from $25 a show to $50 a show.
Whoa.
Nice.
Which will be awesome for you guys and all the work that you put in. But there's also a really cool thing that I've promised once we hit that goal.
Okay.
We're going to have a raffle. On a quarterly basis.
We are not selling me, Jonathan. We're not raffling me off.
People get to go on a date with Chris. No.
Cleared this with Angie?
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, she's good with it. She gets part of the profit. She's
okay.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you were just going to raffle me off and then I have to live in somebody's closet or something like that.
No. So it's going to be a raffle where anybody who's at the captain level or above is entered automatically. And basically, it's a quarterly thing where I'm going to, once you win, I'm going to work with you and talk to you about, okay, what kind of electronics are you interested in or whatever. And the prize is going to be somewhere in between the $300 and $400 range.
Whoa.
So I'm not just going to buy some random thing and say, here's your prize, because it's kind of a lot of money. So I'm going to talk to the person who wins and say, hey, you've just won. What do you want me to buy you? You're our quarterly winner. So if you want to buy an Xbox One or whatever, and it's $300, down with it. Let's do it.
Dang, dude.
So that's going to happen 4 times a year, only for people who are at the captain level or above.
Wow. You need to be a captain.
What if we still want Chris?
What's that, David?
What if we still want Chris?
Well, Chris is taking his shirt off. What's happening right now?
No, Chris, your apartment is freaking hot.
Chris
dude.
Is trying to persuade you to pick him.
No, I did not. I have a shirt.
There was music. Did you hear the music?
Oh,
it was like,
God. I so picked the wrong time to take my sweatshirt off.
You kind of did. Yeah. You kind of brought that on yourself.
It was a little too perfect.
He's showing the goods off over there.
My Ben Kenobi and Darth Vader shirt.
I had 2 tickets to the gun show. I don't know about you guys.
Wow. Yes, the very pale gun show.
It is a Funko Pop shirt over there.
I know. I'm like the opposite of Ben right now. It's just I'm just so clear. It's ridiculous.
So that's I wanted to make sure that you guys knew that. If you're at the lieutenant level and you want to make sure that you're entered into that raffle, then you need to be a captain a certain number of months before we hit that goal. So that's all out there on the Patreon page. And anybody who's interested in trying their luck like that, there's only less than 50 people at that level or above. So it's pretty good odds. So just saying, one of the ways that we want to give back. All right. So that being said, it's time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to
warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born to
do. All right, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Can I borrow a dollar? No. Let's see. Today's warming up Chris question is actually a listener submitted from, and John, you're going to have to forgive me if I pronounce your name wrong, even though you did send it to me hyphenetically.
Not hyphenetically.
Okay.
Phonetically.
Thank you. Yeah. Welcome to Chris. Anyway, today's question comes from TWA listener, John, Lumapis.
Lumapis,
possibly. John, forgive me. You're a very nice person. I really appreciate this question.
John L.
Thank you. Yes.
He's from Krypton.
Oh, there you go. I like that. Very nice. All right. So John's question, actually, it's two questions and one for today's Warm It Up Chris question. Dang it. I can't even talk today.
Warm It Up Chris.
Exactly. Be very, very quiet. So anyway, it's two music questions. And his first question for you guys is, in the song I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred, what are the 9 things that the narrator finds that he's too sexy for? All right. Wow, everybody's writing stuff down. You guys know that this is a fun question, right?
So
David, we're going to start with you, my friend.
I'm going to go with the obvious and say, like Chris, I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Oh, that's correct. Oh, man, it's going to be one of those episodes. I know it. All right, correct, sir. All right, Jonathan.
I'm too sexy for my cat. Poor pussycat.
Yes, poor Rambo is absolutely correct. Benjamin, what do you got?
Those are the only two I could think of. I'm going to say taxi.
I'm sorry, taxi is not one on the list, my friend.
But Ben, I'd like to, you are, in fact, too sexy for your taxi.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
So, all right, Carmella, do you think?
That's why your last car blew up, right?
Yeah, that's why.
Body.
I'm sorry, body is not on the list.
Dang it.
All right. David, do you have an answer for us, sir?
So when I get on here, when I'm listening in the car, I'm like, okay, I can do these questions. Then I'm here, I'm like, IQ drops 20 points.
truth be told.
Tell that to everybody. Yes, sir.
For some reason, the words Paris and France are coming in. So I'm going to say France.
That, my friend, unfortunately, is incorrect. All right, Jonathan.
So I think I know where he's going, though. There's a line, I'm too sexy for something New York and Japan. I think it's Milan. Sexy for Milan.
Milan is on the list. Well done.
Yes. Thank you, David. You helped me.
All right. So, Ben?
I don't have any freaking idea.
If you listen to Jonathan, he gave you 2 other options, by the way, that are on the list. He actually gave me 3 correct answers.
But did I really? I didn't know all of those counted.
Yes.
Oh.
All right.
Darn.
Let's go in New York then.
New York is on the list. Correct, Ben. Well done. Carmella.
Japan?
Japan is on the list. Correct.
You're welcome, America.
All right. David, you got any more answers for us? Either that or we'll just let Jonathan spew out the rest of them because it sounds like he knows all of them.
Apparently he knows everything he is too sexy for.
There are so many things.
I'm going to tap out on that.
All right. So Jonathan, we'll just do one more round and then finish this up for this part of the question. So Jonathan, what do you got?
I think I'm too sexy for my car.
Your car is on the list. Well done.
That's probably what you were thinking about with taxi.
Yeah. Ben, anything?
I'm too sexy for myself.
Nope. I'm sorry. Self is not on the list. All right, Carmella, your last answer.
I'm too sexy for this question.
Okay.
Almost.
Almost on
almost.
The list, but not. So.
I'm too sexy for this song.
Oh. That's...
Song? Yep. Actually, he didn't put song, so I guess there's 10 answers, but I do remember
at the end
that.
Of the song.
Yes,
oh, that's like the last lyric, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, love, shirt, Milan, New York, Japan, party. Car, hat, and cat.
Oh, it's so like a basic, Dr. Seuss rhyme.
I was going to say the same thing. Okay, so the second part of this question is also in music. There are 9 names mentioned in Lou Bega's Mambo No. 5. Name them. Ben is already out of this question.
I'm out. I don't even know this song.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mambo number 5.
Really? Dun, you don't know this song at all? This is your Return of the Mac. This is Return of the Mac on you now.
Yeah.
Yes, Return of the Bagel.
Return of the Bagel.
The Bagel. All right, David, can you remember the song is the first question.
I do remember the song. And I'm trying to sing it in my head, but everybody's talking. I'm like, hmm.
That's going to happen a
Part
lot.
Part of our deflection strategy.
Well, luckily you're away from us, so you can always just take the headphones off for a second.
No, don't do that.
Valid point. So I want to say Tina.
Tina on the list. Well done.
Monica.
Monica on the list. And Jonathan chooses the easiest one.
Only one I can think of.
Oh, wow.
Ben.
Can anybody even hum out this tune?
Yeah.
Yep. I need a little Monica in my life.
Yes. Gotcha. I'm going to say, well, because it was a commercial, I'm going to say Toyota.
No, Toyota.
It's girls' names.
Yes. It's all the girls', it's girls names.
I mean, I know. I'm just saying. Like, they made a commercial, a Toyota commercial years ago.
Oh, that's right. The they did. Song. Okay. I know what Ben's talking about.
I need a little Corolla in my life. I need Lord have mercy. Tundra.
Oh, man. All right. So, Carmela, do you got an answer for us?
Jessica.
Jessica on the list. Well done. David.
Sandra.
Sandra on the list. Well done.
Sarah.
I'm sorry, Sarah's not on the list. Jonathan gets his first one wrong.
I'm too sexy for Sarah. All right, just saying.
Kel's wife would be very happy to hear that, probably. All right, Ben, can you think of anything besides Toyotas?
I think that's somewhere he may have said, I need a little Lucretia in my life.
No, I'm sorry, Lucretia's not on the list.
That's so racist.
All right, Carmela.
Lucretia Borgia's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Erica.
Italians?
Erica, not on the list. Oh. No, I'm sorry. Erica on the list.
Are you sure Erica's it's not on the list? Because I'm Erica's pretty sure it's on that list.
It is. I missed it.
As soon as she said it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's an easy one.
All right. So, David, this question is so entertaining right now on my end. So, what do you got for us, David?
I'm singing it, and I keep repeating Tina and Jessica constantly in my head. It's like, Jessica, all night long. Jessica, all night long. Just repeating over and over.
You're like, the record keeps skipping.
Let's say Carmela.
Carmela, I'm sorry, not on the list. But
what a kiss-off. Goodness gracious.
He's a good teammate.
You should have been on the list, Carmela.
Aww, all right. Thanks.
So, Jonathan, you got anything else?
Dana?
Dana? No, I'm sorry. Dana's not on the list. Ben, you got anything else?
No.
Okay, fair enough. And Carmela, can you help David out with answering a couple of these?
I feel like they all end with like us. Like
me too.
Tina and Jessica.
Marcia?
It does. There's only one that does not end in on this list.
Sheena.
Sheena, not on the list. The very first one on the list is very endearing to me. Angela. Pamela. Sandra. Rita.
Rita.
Erica, Tina, Mary, that's the only one that's not in there, Jessica, and then Monica. Thanks to John L., that is your Warm It Up, Chris, question of the episode. Thank you, John.
Fantastic. Good job,
thank you.
John.
I like that question.
Yeah,
those are exactly the kind of Warm It Up questions. Those are great.
All of you need to speak for yourselves.
All right, next time
you don't know music, man.
next time we'll do lyrics from Return of the Mac.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, so today's game. It's going to be David and Carmela versus Ben and Jonathan in a tag team match. And Chris is going to be the host.
All right.
So, Chris, it's time to play the game.
Time to play the game.
Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points, and when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys. Let's get started.
The game.
Everybody.
All right. I'm excited about these questions. These are kind of fun today. So let's go. The first category in round 1, question 1, category is navigation.
Navigation.
Who was the first navigator to cross the Antarctic Circle? Can't say the first person because I'm sure the boat had more than one person in it.
Thanks for the clue. Bannett, sure. It's a boat. probably the famous Bodie McBoatface.
What do you think? It was a Lincoln Navigator?
No.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
They're as big as boats.
I'm on a boat.
So we've locked in with the only navigator whose name I can ever remember.
Okay. All right.
And just hope for the best.
Gotcha. All right. So Carmela and David, talk it out.
I wonder if they said Magellan.
That's what came to my mind. And I was like, that's not right.
No, he did circumnavigate. Well, most of the way. He died before they got all the way around.
If you were just to do the circle, like if you were to get on the Arctic Circle and just go around like that, could you say you circumnavigated the globe? Because technically you went all the way around.
Yes, you did, but you'd be very cold.
Well, not just that, but you didn't go very far.
I would give you the award.
See, somebody should have been focused on doing that.
I'm a globetrotter!
Go ahead, Carmela, sorry.
So I have no idea.
Same here.
Yay! That means we're not going to lose ground, Ben.
Yes.
Trying to think of people who have been to Antarctica, but it doesn't necessarily mean that someone who actually set foot on it. It just means that they went around it. Shackleton went to Antarctica.
Rusty Shackleford did not go to Antarctica.
He did not. He was stuck in Texas coming up with conspiracy theories.
Wow, that was random. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys never saw King of the Hill?
Oh.
Obviously not that much.
I remember Boomhauer.
So Dale is a conspiracy theorist in the show, and he goes by an alias Rusty Shackleford.
Okay, so it's next level inside of King of the Hill.
That boy ain't right.
Dale reminds me of one of my uncles, by the way.
I have no idea. Nothing. I got nothing.
Same here. I literally, the only person that I know right now off the top of my head who circumnavigated the globe would be Magellan. So I, you know.
Well, at least you go with a navigator. You want to say Magellan just for, you know, for fun, just in case. Maybe he did dip down that far.
Does Jackie Chan count when he circled the globe in
180
the
days.
Movie? Does that count? Yeah, I'm going to default to you.
All right, let's say Magellan.
Final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
All right. So, Jonathan and Ben, what do you got?
So, Shackleton's actually a pretty good answer. When you said that, I thought that might be right. We went with a Munson, but that's just the navigator whose name, he was an Arctic explorer. I don't know if it's Arctic or Antarctic,
okay.
But that's the one I could remember.
If I said the year 1773, would that have helped?
No.
The answer is James Cook.
Oh.
James was it Cook. Really?
Oh. Yes.
Wow.
On the same expedition, Cook also charted the following: the Eastern Islands and Tonga in the Pacific, and then the South Sandwich Islands and South George Islands in the Atlantic.
Nice.
Yeah. So he had a busy time in 1773. All right. So unfortunately, Chris scores 10 points in that one, and he didn't mean to. So question two, category is in world history. In 1980, the United Nations diplomatically rebuked the Soviet Union for invading what country?
We're locked in.
Okay.
It's Afghanistan, wasn't it?
That sounds familiar.
So I know Russia invaded Afghanistan in the 80s. I just didn't know if it was in 1980. But that's what I got. That's what came to mind. I don't know if you have anything else.
A giant blank slate is what I've got.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, partner.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'll do better.
So we're gonna go with Afghanistan.
Okay. Jonathan and Ben?
We listened to that great philosopher Billy Joel who said Russians in Afghanistan and we didn't start the fire.
Is that really how you got it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just knew it.
That was good though. That was really good. So is that your answer, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah.
All right, the answer is Afghanistan. Well done, you two.
Nice.
Or you four, I should say, excuse me. Your question three category in round one is in science.
Science.
Excellent.
Full participation. Good
I like
job.
It. Which is the only planet in our solar system that rotates clockwise? Which is the only planet in our solar system that rotates clockwise?
All right. We're locked in.
Okay.
So Venus is the only planet that spins in retrograde. It spins opposite of the way every other planet is, so it's got to be Venus.
Yep, I had Venus and Uranus, but I wasn't sure which one. So
Uranus is on its side, so it does spin counterclockwise, but it's on its side. So it's Venus.
Okay, Jonathan and Ben, what do you got?
Venus popped in my head, so we went with Venus.
And the answer is Venus. Yes. Well done, you guys.
Good job, lady. Ben.
That's one of three questions that I'll be good for in this game. That's the first one.
So it's also the slowest. It rotates every 243 Earth days.
Yeah, its day is longer than its year.
That's cool.
Yeah.
all right, so after the first round, 20-20, still anybody's ballgame. Okay, guys, that's the end of the first round. We'll be back with the second round right after this.
Your round two, question one category is in music.
Music!
Music!
What British band had hits with Wonderwall and Champagne Supernova?
I know this.
So do I.
Do you guys want a 3-2 on it?
Yeah, we can 3-2 on it.
All right, who's going to answer on both y'all's?
I'll answer.
Do you want to answer on this one?
I'll answer.
Okay.
So all right, well, David, you count once you do 3-2-1, and then we'll both say it together.
Okay, so after the one?
After yes. the one.
As I'm saying one? No.
You're like, what?
All right. 3-2-1, Oasis.
Oasis is correct.
It's a champagne supernova.
All right. So your round two, question two category is in relatives. And your question is, if your aunt's child has a child, what relation is that person to you? If your aunt's child has a child, what relation is that person to you?
In Georgia.
Look, dude, just because your tree don't branch doesn't mean ours don't.
I guess I should say nothing since I'm from Alabama. Well,
if Scott was here, I would immediately make a West Virginia joke. But I wasn't going there. I was going to say we call everybody cousins. It doesn't matter how far removed you are, you're a cousin.
That's right, cuz.
2 million people, can three you, last names.
Chris, can you repeat the question, please?
Absolutely. If your aunt's child has a child, what relation is that person to you?
I'm my own grandpa. I think I know this, Carmela.
I have an idea.
Yeah, I like ideas.
All right, all right. So you're locked in.
Are you sure, gentlemen?
I've been sure for like 7 minutes now.
He's been sure, but he hasn't been able to explain it to me because I'm dense.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so David and Carmela, now you can talk it out. Do you guys wish to leave the room for a minute to discuss this also?
I don't think that'll work out as well.
we're locked in.
David's in a room by himself like, where is she?
It's just him and that tree.
She's flying over now.
So I was thinking second cousin.
Here's my thought, and then I guess we can talk about it. So sure. I used to call my aunt's cousin my second cousin, or my aunt's child's daughter or whatever, my second cousin I used to. And then there was that conversation about removed and what exactly removed meant. And removed, my understanding, is the child is it has to do with the relationship between your relatives and their kids.
Okay.
So I originally thought my first cousin once removed because it's my cousin's child.
Okay, makes sense.
That's my thought. That was my thought process. So
No, I've heard the remove thing and I was thinking about that. And I was like, well, second cousin, no. Because I have a very large family. So we just kind of blanket call everybody cousins, like Jonathan was saying, except for my cousins that are older than me. My mom would always make me call like my Aunt Lorraine. I'm like, no, she's my cousin. She's not my aunt. But I do remember hearing the remove. So you would say first cousin once removed because it's your first cousin's child.
Right. So that's what I think, but I don't want to push you in the wrong direction because I also have a large family. So cousin, blanket cousin totally works for me.
Yeah. Except that's not the answer he's looking for.
Okay. Yeah. I like first cousin once removed.
All right. I'm good with that. First cousin once removed.
Okay.
Okay.
Gentlemen.
So, if you have siblings, the children of siblings are first cousins. The children of first cousins are second cousins. The word removed is used to describe a relationship that crosses over a generation. So we came up with the same answer, which is first cousin once removed.
Do you see why I had a hard time? Even when he explained that just now, that made no sense to me.
Okay.
But we had the same answer.
I got it.
All right. And the answer is first cousin once removed. Well done, everybody. That's, well done.
That's two out of three.
I'm high-fiving you, Carmella.
And according to, and actually, I have a write-up for it, but you guys explained it really well, so I don't need to do that.
Good. I learned all of that on a Sally Jesse Raphael teacher. No lie.
Your question three category is dictators.
Jonathan Oakes.
We prefer the word empire. Emperor.
Despot. All right.
Ooh, despot.
Your question is, who led forces to out Cuban dictator Fulgencio Batista in 1959?
All right, we're locked in.
Okay.
Is that about the time Castro came to power?
So I play tennis, and there is a tennis player with the last name Ferrer. And I feel like I've heard something very similar along those lines in reference to Cuba. But to be honest, that's as far as I got.
Tennis. Gotcha. So.
It's Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I love his chocolate.
If you asked me when Castro died.
Yeah, I would have gotten that.
I would have known that one.
I want to say that is about the time that Castro came in, because he was definitely there during the Kennedy administration. Pretty sure, at least, which would have been in the early 60s. So I feel like if it's Castro, it's a very easy question. I've never heard of Ferrer. So.
Nope, that's totally fine.
So you backing off on the thunder?
I know I am. I'm telling you, I stopped and I was like, that doesn't seem right. So I'm going to.
So do you want to just
here.
Say Castro and see
yep,
what happens?
Let's do it.
All right, Castro.
Okay. Jonathan, Ben?
So the Cuban Missile Crisis was 1961, and Castro was in power at that point. And him coming to power and adopting communism was the impetus for that situation. It seems like he would have to be the right answer unless there's a very short intermediary between the two that I'm not aware of. So we said Castro.
Okay. And the correct answer is Fidel Castro.
Cool.
Well done.
All right. After the second round, it is 50-50.
Okay. Wow. All
Get
right.
Get something wrong.
You do it. I would have gotten plenty wrong if Ben wasn't here. All right.
Ben, stop helping him.
All right. So your round three, question one category is in food.
Food.
What country is famous for its Gouda and Edam cheese?
So it's a good thing I really know cheese. Do you know this one, Carmela?
We're locked in.
Not really.
All right. Are you guys locked in?
Yes.
All right. Carmela and David, go ahead and talk it out.
Okay, so again, we're going to go with how my brain works. So I remember there's a city in the Netherlands called Gouda.
So you're thinking the Netherlands?
Mm-hmm. I think they're Dutch cheeses.
So I think that's a Gouda answer.
Oh.
So it's gay.
So David cheesy, said, I love it.
He said it's Gouda that I know this.
He went next level with your cheesy question.
I stole it from Chris.
Well done.
All right.
So Netherlands.
All right. Final answer on that one. So, Jonathan, Ben, what do you got?
I was trying to think of what does this sound like, and the closest thing I could sound to is that these are French names, so we guessed France.
Okay.
And so France is like the home of cheese.
So France and Netherlands, and your answer is the Netherlands.
Yes.
Darn it. Is there really a city in the Netherlands called Gouda?
Yeah.
Man, I had no idea. Never heard that before.
I want to go is my thing now.
You will have a good time.
So anyway, so preparing for this episode last night, I knew I was going to butcher the name.
Edam,
thank you. And so I reached out to our buddy Lee and asked Lee, hey, you're a food guy. How do I pronounce this? And he said, it's Edam and it's made backwards. And I was like, mind you, this was a little late. And I was just like, oh, wow, that's interesting. So the cheese is made backwards?
The cheese comes out of it.
And he's like, Chris, look at the word. It's made backwards. And I'm just like, I'm going to bed now. Good night.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. Yes.
So I guess they start with cheese and then go through a process to arrive at cheese.
Cheese.
They're going to unbake a cake.
You know what? Whatever. Anyway, all right. So your question two category is in national parks. And your question is, when Yellowstone National Park's Old Faithful erupts, what substance shoots into the air?
Geyser juice.
We're locked in.
Okay.
So I've never been there. I've been near there.
Maybe you should ask the petroleum engineer.
Right, that's exactly. I'm like, I should know this.
Well, I don't think it's petrol.
No.
Is it like sulfur or something, or has sulfur in it? I mean, I don't think it's sulfuric acid, but it might be some sort of sulfur-based thing.
Every time I see a picture of Old Faithful, I always think it's like really hot water. And I'm like, it's hot water. I can make ramen with that. But I don't
You're out of college now.
Right, I am. So,
I'm out of college for a long time. I still eat ramen. Thank you. I like it.
I was also thinking hydrogen sulfide, but I'm not sure if that's a gas or if it's a liquid. Like I said, it comes out of the ground. So.
Right.
And it looks liquidy, and when I look at when I remember pictures, it looks liquidy. So
yeah, but sulfide would go along with what I was thinking with sulfur. So hydrogen sulfide. You want to go with that? See what happens.
Sure, let's go with that.
All right, hydrogen sulfide.
Okay.
So my understanding of a geyser is that it is a heated spot, and there's a place, there's like a reservoir or some set of space underground where water collects. Gets superheated and eventually shoots out. So we said water.
The answer is water.
No.
The geyser erupts roughly every 45 to 110 minutes.
So I just want to note I have the word hot water right there.
All right, fine. Hey, it's my fault.
After missing that question, you're in hot water.
No, Carmella's the one that's in hot water. So, all right. I know, I'm shutting up.
Damn, all right, now we're tied again.
All right, so your question three category is thespians.
Ooh.
What do the following thespians have in common? Jason Schwartzman, Nicolas Cage, Francis Ford Coppola, and Talia Shire. I'll repeat it one more time for you. What do the following thespians have in common? Jason Schwartzman, Nicolas Cage, Francis Ford Coppola, and Talia Shire.
How specific do we need to be?
I mean, it's a fairly specific answer, to be honest with you. So,
for example, they're all human beings.
No, no, okay.
No. I think I know where he's going.
Okay.
There's a common trait in all of them that is not the same common trait that you or I have. That we could, so we could not be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to lock in.
Okay.
All right. I know they're all related.
That's exactly what I was like. They're related.
So, Nicolas Cage is Francis Ford Coppola's nephew. Jason Schwartzman is Nicolas Cage's cousin. I'm not sure about the other one. So, I can't say that they're all cousins because the relation between Nicolas and Francis Ford is it's an uncle-nephew kind of thing. So, related is probably about as specific as I can think of. So, we're going to say related. Do we need to be more specific?
Nope, that's fine.
Okay.
We said they're all in the same family.
And they are all related or in the same family. That's absolutely correct, guys. Nice. Well done, and lady.
After the third round, 70 to 70.
There you go. All right. Like I said, I probably made these a little too easy, but this one.
Hey, the water one was fantastic.
Shut up.
Jump in. The water's fine.
No, it's not.
No, it will kill you. It will kill you in a heartbeat. Dude just died from getting Old Faithful geyser water on him. Not long ago.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't hear that.
Wow.
I could just like that. He deserved that.
People are idiots, man. People
you can nominate him for the Darwin Award.
People find these warm springs and they think, oh, let's go take a dip. And then the water superheats and they get boiled to death. It's insane.
Wow.
Stay out of the water.
All right. Your midpoint question comes from TWA listener Chris Mason. So, Chris, thank you very much. He, as a matter of fact, sent this to me as a warm it up, Chris, question. And I liked it so much and was able to phrase it in a way that we actually made it into a midpoint question. So, Chris, thank you. And it's also a way to get some bonus points for you guys as well, because you guys are clearly not scoring high enough in this episode as it is. The category is Scrabble.
Oh, good.
The question is this. According to the official Scrabble Players Dictionary, there are 8 presidential surnames that are acceptable plays in a game of Scrabble. For 4 points each, name 5 of them. For a bonus of 1 point each, name all 8.
So surname, last names?
That's correct. So according to the official Scrabble Players Dictionary, there are 8 presidential surnames that are acceptable plays in a game of Scrabble. For 4 points each, name 5 of them. For a bonus of 1 point each, name all 8. And in order to get the 3 bonus points for the all 8, you have to have all 8 correct.
Okay.
Carmella, if you could come over here, I could show you what I have.
All right, we're locked in.
Okay.
All right. So I came up with Ford, Bush, and Grant, and Hoover so far. What did you come up with?
I have Bush, Carter, Trump, Pierce, Hoover, Grant, Franklin, and Johnson.
So Pierce I like. Tell me about Franklin.
So Franklin is a landowner back in the olden times.
Oh, okay. Did you have Grant on there?
I did have Grant.
And did you have Ford?
I did not have Ford. My understanding, well, I play Scrabble kind of a lot. Proper nouns, you don't really use, right? So Ford.
But you can Ford a river.
That's true. I didn't think of Ford. So do you know Chris? Well, I don't know. I guess it's not worth asking. But I
know Chris.
Sure. Trump. Do I know Chris? Yeah. I wasn't right sure there. If it's as updated as Trump, because I feel like Trump for sure is one.
This isn't a board game where you have to play by the rules that when right. the thing was published. So this is as of today.
as of today.
So like in which case, I do agree with that one. I mean, because the town that we live in used to be called Cowford, because that's where they forded the cows over the St. John's. So
I did not know that.
Yeah. And then they renamed it after Andrew Jackson, which I'm glad I don't live in Cowford.
Nothing wrong with Cowford.
Okay, so I'm really confident in Bush. I'm really confident in Grant. I'm really confident in Hoover. I'm really confident in Pierce. I'm really confident in Trump and Johnson. Johnson being
right. I'm familiar with the term.
Oh my!
Is that the only other way that that word is used?
My understanding. Oh, that's the only way I use it. So
this is comedy gold.
So he said
eight, and I have eight, so we'd have to get rid of one of them, I guess.
Well, I like Franklin, the explanation you gave. It's Johnson that I'm a little iffy about.
Whether it's too slang or not.
Yeah, well, I think it would qualify as a slang term. And Ford is an actual thing that you can do. And I mean, it is a proper noun because it's a car company, but it is also a verb.
Yep.
So how do you feel about switching out Johnson for Ford?
Let's do it. Okay, are we going to make that one of our top five?
Let's make Grant, Pierce, Bush. Yeah, I would probably put Ford in the top five. So that's four.
Over Trump?
No, Trump should probably be in there too. So that should be our five.
Okay, so our five is so your five Bush.
I think it should be Ford, Grant, Pierce, Bush, and Trump should be our five.
Okay.
All right. And then we had Carter, Franklin, and what was the last one?
Do you say Hoover?
Oh, yeah, Hoover.
Hoover.
You locked in?
Yes. Okay.
So I'm happy to say that I know they're at least not getting one bonus, because we've never had a President Franklin.
Oh, that's his first name, Franklin Delano. My bad.
But I think they probably got more points than we did.
Probably.
Because I think our bonuses are wrong. I think Carter's a good one. Yeah. Okay, so we had... Our main answers were Grant, Bush, Pierce, Ford, and Trump. Same exact reasons. We were hoping that the slang for dollar bills was going to be valid, and so we went with Washington and Lincoln and Hoover as our bonuses.
Okay. So the answers are Pierce, Johnson, Grant, Hoover, Ford, Carter, Bush, and Trump.
So we all got the five.
That's correct. So you
and they got two bonus points, and we got one bonus point.
That's correct. Yes. Okay. So 22.
You're right about Johnson. We should have just switched out Franklin.
We definitely said Johnson and got rid of it.
I didn't even think about it. I was like, oh yeah, there's definitely no. It's Franklin Pierce.
You know what? Yep. I had Carter
and FDR, and it's Benjamin Franklin.
That was my friend. I should have.
But Chris Mason, great question. Thank you very much for that. And yeah. Good job on getting as many right as you guys did. I thought that would be a little harder, but I guess with you guys knowing presidential names as well as we do now.
So the bonuses there was a big deal.
Woohoo!
Because they have a 1-point lead. Yeah. That's going to stick. We're never going to, unless you have another bonus in there. So we've got to get an extra question right off of that 1 point.
If
then.
It makes you happy, there is a couple more opportunities for bonus questions.
No, that doesn't make me happy. Don't do that.
After the midpoint, it is 92-91. Dave and Carmella are in the lead.
All Woo-hoo. Right.
And that's the end of the first half. We will be back with the second half right after this short break.
Your round four, question one category is in world history.
All right.
What English king succeeded Edward the Confessor when he died in 1066?
100%, dude. 100%. Okay. Locked in.
Okay.
So William the Conqueror invaded in 1066. But I don't know if there was a... if he means before William took over, just right after Edward the Confessor died. I know there was a King Stephen at one point.
Good old King Steve. King Steve. What up, Steve?
But because of the 1066 thing, I have a feeling it's going to end up being William the Conqueror.
Got nothing. That sounds good to me. Yeah, I've got nothing, honestly.
So that's probably the best answer I'm going to come up with. So we'll say William the Conqueror.
All right, Jonathan.
So the king that William the Conqueror deposed was Harold the Second. So we said Harold the Second.
Harold. The answer is Harold, son of Godwin. That is absolutely correct.
Was he Harold the Second, though?
Absolutely, yes. Harold the Second.
Harold the Second. Yes. Anyway, his time on the throne was very short. Harold was crowned on January 6, 1066, and was killed by William the Conqueror in October of 1066.
Good job, man.
So your question two category is famous families. Your question is, what famous Academy Award-winning actress was also Liza Minnelli's mother? What famous Academy Award-winning actress was also Liza Minnelli's mother?
I actually was playing Trivial Pursuit last night, and it was a question I was asked.
Awesome.
Wow.
I've been practicing.
The coincidence on that is crazy.
I know, right?
All right, we're locked in.
You sure about that? That did not sound like a sure locked in.
We're locked in?
We're locked in. All
right.
Yes, we're locked in.
All right, so.
Okay, so like I said, this was a question I was asked last night in Trivial Pursuit. So her mother was Judy Garland.
Yeah, that was about where I was leaning. So Judy Garland.
All right, gentlemen.
I originally wrote down, I said, Ben, I can't remember her name, but it's Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. And it took a minute, and then we came up with Judy Garland.
All right, and Judy Garland is correct. Nice job. Wow. Okay, I really did make these way too easy.
Was she the one
These are just fine, dude. Okay.
Was she the one that was dancing with Fred Astaire?
Or
was
that's Ginger Rogers.
Ginger Rogers, yeah.
But she was in Meet Me in St. Louis and a bunch of other amazing movies besides just being in, I mean, Wizard of Oz. But Dorothy, of course, was her most famous role. Okay, your question three category is mythology.
And myth. Myth.
Yes. All right, your mythology question is, who was the Titan of Destruction in Greek mythology? Who was the Titan of Destruction in Greek mythology?
You just ramped up the difficulty tremendously. Oh. I didn't know there was a Titan of Destruction. That's all it is? There's nothing else about him? Just Titan of Destruction?
No. All of them.
I'm going to guess Brock Lesnaros.
I didn't say Beast of Destruction.
Eat, sleep, destroy Argos.
Was he the one who composed the Symphony of Destruction?
Wow, very nice. No, I'm sorry. That's all you got. And that's all you got. All right, Carmel and David, go for it.
So his child was Hecate, if you know who Hecate is.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Perses.
Perses. Okay.
P-E-R-S-E-S. Perses or Perses or... I mean,
so apparently he knows who it is.
And that is your final answer, David and Carmella?
Final answer.
Yeah.
All right. Jonathan?
We said, release the Kraken!
That was awesome, and I really wish I could give you points, but the answer is Perses.
Wow. Woo-hoo! I've never heard of Perses. I've heard of Perseus.
Well, that's why
Percy Jackson.
When I was reading the article on this, I had to double check because I thought it said Perseus. I was like, there's no way he was a Titan.
He's not a Titan. He's a son of the gods.
And then I looked at the spelling. I was like, okay, dummy.
Nice. So, fun fact, do you guys know what the Roman name for Hecate is?
I know I used to pronounce it Hectate.
Is it Demeter?
No.
No, Demeter was a Ceres.
Who is it?
No. Trivia.
Yeah.
Oh, Hecate is trivia. Go figure.
Trivia, the meaning of three words. There you go. I know how that words. I know how to say.
You know how that words?
I know how to word. I know how to speak.
Words be good to me.
How do words?
Me fail English? That's impossible.
After four rounds. 112 to 111.
Wow. Man, this is a...
This sucks, man.
I know. That one point on freaking Titan of Destruction, which, by the way, should be a wrestler's nickname. Let's be honest.
All right. So round five, your question one category is music and movies. And this question comes from our buddy, Tara Whittle.
All right, Tara.
Thank you, Tara. Bananarama's Cruel Summer became their first hit in the United States a year after it's released, after being featured in what 1984 action movie? And actually, her term was teen action movie, so you can use it as action or teen action movie.
It's a cruel, cruel summer.
We're going to lock in with a estimation.
Okay.
I wouldn't get anywhere close to that without you, if that's right, by the way. So
teen action movie. So this is before both of us were born. That's
a fact. So were many other movies, by the way, just to let you know.
So my thought is Karate Kid.
Karate Kid. Okay. That does fit the teen action movie. That's about the same time. I was going to be like, what year did Point Break come out? But Karate Kid sounds pretty good. We can go with that. Karate Kid.
That's what I would go with. 1984 right. Sounds Karate Kid-ish and answer. Action movie. And I like that song, so there's that.
Sure. Because he likes the song, that's what we're going with. Yeah, that's our final answer.
Okay, Ben.
So when you first said the title, I was like, I don't know this. I don't think I know this song. And then Jonathan started singing it. Mm-mm. I'm like, wait a minute. Mm-mm. Somebody started singing it.
David.
I was like, wait a minute. I know that tune. And I vaguely remember a scene in a movie where the song is playing in the background and there's like cars. I think this was a scene where Daniel was taking Allie out for the first time and they were in that 50s Chevy and it was sunset and they were playing that song. So I went with Karate Kid just because I've seen that movie so many times and I definitely paired those songs.
And he took it down to the scene.
And
Ben that may not be the right scene. No, but.
And Ben is 100% right. The answer is the Karate Kid. Well done. Nice.
Oh, that's Ben.
That's
right,
the third one, Jonathan.
No, that's like four or five, yeah. Dude.
Okay.
Cool, we both got that.
Your question two category is in literature.
Literature.
Who is the King of Rohan in The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers?
Oh, what's his name? I'm not going to remember.
So you're going to have to. That.
Ever.
You're going to have to delete, or you're going to have to beat this up. I just read these like 2 months ago.
And I thought this was going to be too easy. This is awesome. Okay, again, who is the King of Rohan in The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers?
I'm so upset.
See, what I'm. All right, so I'm going to lock in with an answer that I'm sure is wrong, and that's that.
Okay.
Okay, Carmela, I'm going to say something, and you let me know if that makes sense to you, because I think this is right. Okay. So in the movie played by Bernard Hill, I think it's King Theoden.
Oh, it is Theoden. Thank you. I was like, it's a TH word.
Wait, my family has all the extended versions. So what we do is we watch them all at once. So literally we start at like 8 a.m. and don't get done until super late.
Yeah, I usually do that every holiday season, except for this year, instead of watching the movies, I reread all the books.
So
I would be comfortable with Theoden.
Theoden. Yes, we're going to go with Theoden. Okay.
Jonathan?
The closest I could come, and they're obviously right. The closest I could come, I remembered his daughter's name was Eowyn. Mm-hmm. And so I got that correct. Far. And I think the son's name was Aodan or something close. So I just called him Edrin. Eowyn, son of Edrin.
So you had a Indianapolis Colts running back as the king of the
pretty much, yes. Yes, I said Edrin.
Edrin.
Well, and the correct answer is Theoden.
Oh, thank you.
Good job, David. I've only watched the movie.
You
once,
said
by
his
way.
Name. You made the sound like somebody has been holding pee for like 30
minutes. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, wow, she just relieved herself.
Because I'm sitting there going, what the hell is his name? It's a TH word. I just read them.
The best part about having a partner in pub trivia.
Yeah.
All right. Your question three category is the Torah.
Okay.
I want you to name the five books in the Torah. And for two extra points, What does Torah mean in Hebrew? So name the five books in the Torah. For two extra points, what does Torah mean in Hebrew?
Oy. That's a lot of question.
All right, we are locked in.
Okay, and by the way, if you can get the... And did you get the bonus as well on there?
Yes, we wrote that down.
Because you can get the bonus without getting the question right.
Okay. How many points is the bonus worth?
It's 2 points.
Okay.
Oh, we need this bad.
We really need this.
All right.
David, would you happen to be Jewish?
No, but my best friend is.
That might be helpful.
She just converted because she's getting married. So, because, you know, Judaism is passed down in the mother's line. So she
here's hoping. Here's hoping that he can make her feel bad by missing this.
So
I hope not.
Okay. I don't.
You don't have anything? Okay, so what I remember from trying to find the differences between the two, which there's a lot, obviously, is I have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then do you want me to say what I think it means? This one I'm not sure of.
Yeah, what do you think it means?
To teach?
That makes sense.
So that one I think I remember her telling me once, but I don't off, you know, honestly, I'm not sure if that's exactly what that means. But those are the five that I have. And if you have any different, feel free to chime in.
No.
Carmella's like, I don't know anything.
I need
religion.
Lee for this.
Religion? No. Black hole.
Yeah. Yeah. That works for me. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and to teach.
Okay. Gentlemen?
We said Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and the law.
Okay. The answer is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So correct. Full points for both. And the bonus is instruction or teaching. And I will give them the bonus.
Yes! Thank you!
We thought that was right. I thought the Torah was the law. Wow. You're sure it's not?
Yes, sir.
I just want to say thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, I don't thank you.
Aw.
But thank you for listening, if you listen.
Oh, at this rate, David's going to tell everybody he knows because he's coming out on top.
No, I got hot water wrong, and I got Fidel Castro wrong. So.
After the fifth round, it is Ben and Jonathan have 131. Carmella and David have... carry the two. 144. 144 to 131. Woo-hoo! Going into the last round, and it is not looking good for Ben and Jonathan. Okay, guys, that's the end of the fifth round. We will be back with the start of the sixth round right after this.
So, round six, question one's category is Chris asks another math question.
Yes!
Yes.
All right. Your question is...
Engineers what? Unite in form of what? An equation.
Do they make a parabola?
Form of a polynomial.
No, I want there to be a parabola, like where they just both reach up in an arc.
That's what we're going to do. We're reaching.
I'm waiting
yes.
For you.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. All right. What is 531 written in Roman numerical format?
Whew.
What is 531 written in Roman numerical format?
We're good. We're locked in.
Okay.
We good.
We good, shawty.
All right. So what do you guys got?
Okay. So 31 is XXXI.
Correct.
M is 1,000. Do you know what it is for 500?
It is the first letter of my name. David. D.
So it's D. Okay. So DXXXI.
You saying D's triple X?
D triple XI.
Okay. Final answer?
Yep.
All right. Gentlemen. Yes.
We have the same answer, DXXXI.
And the correct answer is DXXXI. Correct.
Roman numerals are like every nerd's favorite thing. I haven't thought about Roman numerals in years, and still D came quickly, you know?
All right, your question two and round six, the category is science.
Science.
All right, your question is, what term applies to space devoid of matter? What term applies to space devoid of matter?
We're locked in.
All right.
So in the cosmic web, the spaces where there's nothing are called voids, which I think is funny because he said devoid in his question. So what I was thinking
mm-hmm. is vacuum. So like when you're testing things, like sound, see if sound travels, right? You go into a vacuum, and there's that classic, you know, experiment where they got that giant glass dome over like an alarm, and you set the glass dome over it, and then you evacuate everything out of it, and then you don't hear the sound anymore. Right. So,
but in that experiment, there's still matter there because the clock is inside of it.
That's true.
Space where there's no matter.
I'll defer to you, but like I said, the first thing that came to my head was vacuum, but I'd be curious to use the word void because you used the word devoid.
Right. That's why I'm hesitant about it. But I mean, the largest void that is in the observable galaxy is the one in Biotis, where it's just a space where there's nothing there.
She's just showing off.
Mm-hmm. Check out the big brain on you.
So, I mean, I
that was the longest death stare I've ever seen.
And he's still alive.
I mean, but space is a vacuum, and it's got stuff in it. I mean, there's no air, I mean, other than what accumulates around a body.
True.
Why would he say devoid?
They give you way too much credit for thinking about the words you use.
True story.
Well, like I said, I was comfortable with it, and when she's talking about like space being a vacuum, I guess that makes sense. My argument with the clock though is that it's the experiment talks about like sound waves propagating and nothing. So that's the only reason that
right.
You own the team just as much as she does. So if you want to fight for the answer, you can lock it in too.
You gotta fight for your right.
He's trying to encourage me to take that answer, so I don't think it's vacuum.
That's assuming that he knows what the right answer is.
To be 100 on it, I don't know. Like I said, the best answer I can give is vacuum.
It's vacuum. I remember it being void. Just then blackness.
Use your thunder. Make it happen.
So you good with void? Can we do void? And if it's wrong, then you can just blame me forever.
That's totally fine. Void is fine.
Okay. We're going to say void.
All right. Jonathan? Ben?
We had such a similar... we literally wrote down two words. I wrote down void. Mm-hmm. Ben wrote down vacuum.
Yep.
And when he wrote down vacuum, I wrote down vacuum means no air. Air is matter. So a vacuum would be only existing if there were no matter. So that might be right. But after thinking about it for a little bit longer, we end up circling void.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the answer is vacuum. Vacuum is a space void of matter. The word stems from the Latin adjectives vacuus for vacant or void.
You know what's bad is the two science-y guys are the ones who had the right answer, and we went away from them.
I'm being difficult. Hang on.
Oh, we have a challenge.
Uh-oh.
She's got shenanigans on speed dial. She's calling them.
Mm.
Shenanigans?
Oh, you're checking the answer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good. I'm going to check the Torah then.
Wow. Really?
Better party of one.
I do think,
for
yeah,
real,
I do think that they're right about the
jerks.
Torah.
Void and vacuum are actually synonyms.
And Torah is Hebrew for law. I think we both get credit.
I think I throw out this question.
No, and I don't think you throw out the question.
Absolutely.
I think both teams get credit for that.
No, I wouldn't throw it out at all.
Yeah.
I like points.
Void is completely empty. A completely empty space, a void.
Hey guys, so we did a little research when we were looking up the information about void and vacuum and looked up the stuff on the Torah. So any of you guys who are freaking out about Torah really meaning law or not, we did some research back and forth, and it turns out that there is some debate over whether it's the law, which is a dictionary definition, or teaching, which is something that is presented very strongly in other sources. So we're going to go ahead and throw out that bonus question, and the scores will be adjusted this round to account for that.
So we lose 2 points.
Sorry for the confusion on that one. But we did decide, because void and vacuum are listed as synonyms, that those are both acceptable answers for the area where there's a lack of matter. So that's the final ruling on this one. Thank you so much for your patience, and back to the game.
The correct answer is void or vacuum.
Woohoo!
Hey!
Yay.
Everyone was right.
All right. So. Thank God this is a question that I absolutely know the answer to.
All right, hold on a sec. Let me figure out how
So you just subtract 2 points from us?
Yeah.
That.
I missed those 2 points already.
That was. So the score after the fourth round was really 142 to 131.
Okay.
So your question three categories in sports.
Please be a major sport.
Your question is, within one, how many major golf championships has Jack Nicklaus won?
1989 Detroit Pistons.
We're lucky. Okay.
Any chance you're a golfer?
Not at all.
No, he's a tennis player.
I'm a tennis player, so.
Those two groups don't hang out together.
No.
Those golfers are totally wusses.
Those are business sports. Sports for businessmen.
I know. I'm just
I was told that I should study sports, and everything I learned about golf was Tiger Woods, and that was it.
So. I know who Jack Nicklaus is.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
So my answer would be Tiger Woods. Final answer. Tiger
Woods. Within one Tiger Woods. How many championships did he win? Within one.
If I ever own a set of woods, I'm going to call them Tiger.
So
those are my Tiger Woods.
This is all I've gotten. It's nothing golf related, but like the way that I understand like this kind of trivia and stuff is when they use like one as a deviation, it's going to be more of a smaller number. Is that correct? And then, you know, the larger the deviation, the higher the number it's going to be.
Usually that's the way it works.
Usually, right.
Usually.
But Chris is asking these questions.
Game theory alert.
So for those of you playing the home game, take a drink. So do you feel it's more in the 1 to 10 range or the 10 to 20 range?
So I think you may have heard that I know very little about sports. I mean, I know nothing about sports.
Okay. So yeah, basically paired me up with me.
But he does have a winning smile. So there is that.
Honestly, I would go anything. I mean, I don't know how easy it is to win a championship, but
I'm not sure. I know he is one of the more well-known golfers. If I think of golf, I think of Tiger Woods, Arnold Palmer, and Jack Nicklaus. You want to say like 12? Because that'll give us 11 to 13.
It's good a guess as any. Sounds good.
Okay, so we're going to say 12.
Okay. Ben?
All right, so I basically didn't watch golf at all until Tiger Woods came on the scene, which I think is the case with a lot of people.
Racist.
And, well, you know. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Well, you know, there weren't any black people playing really before then, not in the major scene.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, whatever, man.
No, it's called representation.
So I know
that's what it's
called. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about him.
So there are a bunch of records of Tiger's chasing. One of them is the most major championships ever won. And that Jack Nicklaus does hold the record for that. I believe that Jack has won 18 championships. And I think Tiger's at 13 or 14. So we locked in with 18.
You're right. Tiger has 14 major championships. Jack Nicklaus has 18.
Oh, and the money!
Ben! That was clutch. Good job.
Ben, dog! Woo! Yes! Nice.
See, you've gone over your quota.
I did.
You overperformed.
I did. Overperformed.
Unfortunately.
We're still a point behind.
Ben, good God have mercy on us. That stupid midpoint. Who is that? Chris Mason?
Yes.
Chris!
Well, remember, Chris actually had it set up as a warm it up Chris question. I'm the one that converted it into
you?
A midpoint. Yes.
Chris!
But I will tell you this. We are. Actually, I'll let Jonathan tell us what the points are now.
After six rounds, Jonathan and Ben have 161 points.
Wow.
I think we should just leave it at that, don't you think? Should leave it there. Carmella and David have 162 points.
Man, it's anybody's game.
Because they said Carter.
There you go.
In the midpoint, which is an answer Ben had written down, but we failed to discuss as one of our possible answers.
Wow. Okay. So your gauntlet category is literature.
All right. We're going into the final with a literature set of questions. Mm. And Chris has been all over the board today. All right. We've got our wager written down.
Our points are locked in.
Okay. So, lady and gentlemen, your first question is presidential literature. Name one of the two books penned by President Barack Obama.
I'm just praying my teammate knows that.
Wow, racist much?
He's more likely to have read it than I am.
We're locked in.
Okay. So, David, I know one of them, so we can go with that since we only need to do one answer.
Okay. I'm fine with that. For some reason, of the icing, I thought was one as well, so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're locked in.
Okay. The second question is in sports literature. The book Game of Shadows focuses on steroid allegations connected to what athlete?
Game of Shadows.
We're locked in.
Steroid allegations. So, I'm feeling it's probably a baseball player. I don't read sports books. You found my one hole in my literature.
Her one hole, singular. It's the only book she doesn't know.
The one void in her literature. Actually,
that's a vacuum.
So, yeah, I do. Like I said, I do feel it's a baseball player, and Barry Bonds does work. The only other person I might have thought of would have been McGuire. But, yeah, we can go with Barry Bonds.
Do you see that book with the gray words and the black lettering?
Are you serious?
Right next to it? Right there? There.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretending I'm scribbling on it.
We were just talking about my bookcase and whether or not what I've read makes a difference.
That sucks.
Literally, the book is less than 2 feet away from Carmella.
I'm sorry.
You couldn't turn around, Carmella?
Dude, you don't have to apologize for that. Just because I've read the book does not mean that it's not a fair question.
No, I know. But just still, it's like, I was like, dadgummit. Anyway, all right. Your third question is classic literature. Who wrote the novel The Old Curiosity Shop? Who wrote the novel The Old Curiosity Shop?
We are locked in.
Okay.
Have you read this, Mark? Have you read this, Carmella?
No.
If you'll turn around two down over... No, I'm kidding. Oh, I'm kidding.
I was like, are you freaking serious?
So I'm fairly certain I had to read this in college, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So we'll lock in with that.
Okay. So your first question in the gauntlet is in presidential literature. The question is, name one of the two books penned by President Barack Obama.
Ben, what did we say?
We locked in with The Audacity of Hope.
Okay.
And we also said The Audacity of Hope.
All right. The second question is in sports literature. The book Game of Shadows focuses on steroid allegations connected to what athlete?
This is the book where we learned about the cream and the clear. The answer is Barry Bonds.
Okay.
We also said Barry Bonds.
Wow, man. This is a knockdown, drag-out fight.
Right
I'm
now.
Super stressed right now, man.
It's getting intense in here.
Okay. The final question in the gauntlet that's stressing everybody out is classic literature. Who wrote the novel The Old Curiosity Shop?
What did you guys say?
We said Charles Dickens.
Okay.
So wow. We all have the same three answers.
Okay.
It means it's going to come down to wagers whether or not we're right or wrong.
Yes. So let's go to the right answers first.
What are the right answers, Chris?
Okay. For president literature, Barack Obama's two books were Dreams for My Father and The Audacity of Hope.
He wrote down Dreams for My Father as the second choice, by the way.
Yep. The book Game of Shadows focuses on Barry Bonds. And now the man, I think
breathing?
Carmella's having a heart attack.
Are you breathing, Carmella?
Do you need a paper bag?
I have lots of anxiety, okay?
She's turning pale.
No, this is my default state.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
And your classic, David's stressing out over there, too.
He has his hands clasped.
All right. And your classic literature, who wrote the novel The Old Curiosity Shop? That was written by Charles Dickens.
Oh, my God.
So everybody got it correct, and it goes to wagers. So,
oh, boy. Okay. So we want to hear Carmella and David's wagers.
They were in the lead first with 162 points.
So I asked David if we got the question wrong, what would he be comfortable ending with, and he, you know, he gave the answer to the life, the universe and everything, which I think is funny because it's a literature-based answer.
Good point.
So we thought if we lost, then we would get 42. So we bet 120.
Oh, my God.
So 120. So that, so 162 plus 120 is
282.
Wow. Go big
that
or
is
go
one
home.
Of the highest scores we have ever seen on the game.
Yes. So the question is, what did Jonathan and Ben bid?
What did we wager, Ben?
Reluctantly, if you remember, I didn't want to.
You didn't want to.
I
don't
want
to
do this number. We bet 161 points.
Boom! Oh. We bet it all, baby.
Wow.
322 points for the win.
My goodness. Wow. So can you please give us the final total, Jonathan?
322 for Ben and Jonathan to 282 for David and Carmella.
Wow.
Big dog.
Woo!
Now,
good job.
That's over 600 points combined. I would say that's got to be the highest combined total we've ever had on the show.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
I'll leave it to the fact checkers to do that, but
easily the highest
combined.
Congrats,
Scott Barber.
It might be the highest single score. It could be.
322 is. You did do that one special episode around reality TV with that
oh,
guy.
Oh, yeah. I got to check it against Rob Cesternino's score.
Yeah, he had a really high score, too.
Three. Oh, tell you what, man. My heart's going. I'm ready. I'm like, yeah.
Well, this, I tell you what, as being a spectator, this was one of the best games I've ever been a part of. So for that, I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
What a battle. What a battle.
That was great. That was a great game.
I was when
that
you
was
guys
really fun.
David, when you got the old curiosity shop, I was like, son of a gun, if he had just missed that, this would have been easy, like locked in.
Well, and then the two of them actually developed some really good trust early on, which was pretty outstanding, especially for not knowing each other. So
big props to Ben and I for winning. I just want to call that
very
out.
Very well done.
Oh, let me give myself props.
You know what my favorite thing about Jonathan is? It's his modesty.
It really is, yes.
Let's just say this. Good job, Jonathan. Good job. All right, we have...
He hasn't had too many of these, so we need to let him go right now and enjoy
no,
it.
No, we don't.
We have a Warhead of the Week.
Okay.
Is it David?
It is David Livesey. Good job, David. Hey, man. Welcome to the club. And as a general, David's going to be... rather regular. He should appear on the show. If he sticks with us through the whole year, he's going to be on the show four times this year.
Good deal.
If you would have seen how stressed I was leading up to this, I don't know.
He's like, I might decline.
Awesome. But you had a little bit of fun today, right?
Oh, I had a ton of fun. Oh my God,
good deal.
Such a good time. Right.
We also have some reviews to read. Let me pull those up. We have a review by Tiny Lisa Liu, who says, hilarious and fun. Found your podcast while searching for trivia-related podcasts on a two-week road trip across America. Relatable questions and always fun listening. Keep up the great work. She was listening to Trivial Warfare across America.
Man, I really want to live vicariously through these people.
I know, right?
People, I mean, they're traveling all over the place, downloading us, and they're like, man, they're in a lot nicer places than I am right now. Well, this is Jonathan's apartment.
Well, I was going to say, Jacksonville's not that shabby, but this apartment might have been, I don't know.
All right, really? Have you seen my bat? Would you like me to introduce you to it? No. Get a closer look.
Have you seen his Christmas star? I mean, that thing's beautiful.
All right, so we have another review.
Bat more than me. If anything, you would hit me. Use me to hit the bat.
We have another review by Haley, and Haley says, "How to express your feelings for Trivial Warfare in 7 simple steps." He gave us steps. Mm. 1. Tweet at Jonathan to see if there's any other way to leave a review. 2. Wait a few days and then resign yourself to the following ordeal. 3. Boot up slow and barely use laptop because it's the only way you can access iTunes. 4. Launch iTunes for the first time in over 3 years.
Wow.
5. Attempt to reset your Apple ID password, only to find out that you apparently don't know who your first teacher was. 6. Reset password successfully via email. 7. Leave review to inform potential future listeners that this is a very fun podcast full of thoughtful trivia, and each episode is well composed to balance a variety of topics to keep all entertained regardless of their skill. I'm working my way through the backlog
But I couldn't wait any longer to give a shout out to the one podcast I start listening to each week before I even get in the car on Monday mornings.
Nice.
He loves listening to the different combinations and must pledge his allegiance to Team Carmella and Team Ben.
Yes.
Yay.
We are highly recommended for all who can't get enough competitive trivia.
We are so completely hosed, Jonathan. We created the show. Come on.
I don't feel bad.
All right.
Anyway, but honestly, if you're Team Carmella, you love what I do. If you're Team Ben, you love what I do, because this is all what I do.
So I'm completely hosed.
Yes, you take it personal.
But you know what? This is a great review just for the fun factor alone, and just thank you very much for it. That was awesome.
And then last but not least, we have a review from Anthony Nordman, who says, "Brilliant! I stumbled across this awesome podcast by searching trivia on iTunes. I needed something to occupy me on an 11-hour car ride, and the drive was a breeze, because listening to this awesome cast feels like being right in the room with Jonathan, Chris, and company. I particularly liked the Murica episode.
Yay!
Since I'm a senior political science major with a passion for American history.
Whoa.
Much love nice. From Rome, Georgia.
Nice. Oh, awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Awesome, that. Anthony. Thank you so much. We also have some Trivial Warfare Army promotions to announce. We have a new Lieutenant Colonel, Jeremy Gabbard. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. We are very glad to have you here and looking forward to getting to know you better. We also have a new captain, Trisha Lipton. Thank you, Trisha. Can't tell you how much we appreciate you. If you want to be like Trisha and Jeremy and support the show, make sure you head over to patreon.com/TWA and figure out which rank you'd like to be. And Chris, I think it is time to wrap it up, my friend.
All right, fantastic. Well, if you have any Warm It Up Chris questions, like John had for us today, you can email me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Again, that's all one word, warmitupchris@yahoo.com.
If you would like to send me any questions or get a hold of me, it's twafirstlady@gmail.com.
And if you want to send me any snide remarks and or questions, you can send them to twaliterature@gmail.com.
And as always, I am at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. And if you haven't written a review yet, remember, iTunes is the place to go. I know some people don't like it. I'm not a huge fan of it myself, but that's where the most people look to see your reviews. So if you want to represent whether you like the show, that's the place to do it.
Because we're on the Thunder to 200. That's right.
You notice I was trying to avoid that,
and
right?
You should not.
Yeah, the Thunder to 200.
So, and David, thank you very much. Did you have anything you want to pitch or let us know about?
No, I just think I tell everybody about this podcast. I quite like it. It was completely on a whim. I was quote unquote working out and I was like, I need something that's not music. And I stumbled across you guys and you guys have done a great, great job.
Thank you. So, you did a great job on the show today. Yeah, I like you have a good personality. You're going to be a good fit.
Absolutely. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
And a winning smile. Like I said earlier, do you see this guy's smile?
Well, thank you for being my teammate.
Thank you for being my teammate.
Aw.
Hugs all around.
He kind of looks like a Cuba Gooding Jr. He does.
And on that note,
like Cuba Gooding Jr. from radio.
Okay. Until next time. That's David. That's Ben. That's Carmella. That's Jonathan. And I'm Chris. And this, my friends, is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia; it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare. This episode was edited and produced by me, Joel Sharpton. If you need help with your podcast, find it at ProPodcastingServices.com.
Yeah, it's EDAM. Okay. So what country is famous for its Gouda and a damn cheese?
You sound like...
A damn cheese.
Exactly. You sound like the guy from Vacation movies.
Once more with feeling, please.
This is some Gouda and damn cheese.
It's the damn bridge with the damn cheese.
One more time, please. What country is famous for its Gouda and Edam cheese?
No, it's not Ed. It's E. It's Edom.
Edom.
Edom. Okay. Gouda and Edom cheese.
Not Edom. Edom. Do we eat them and how?
I hate all of you right now.
All right. Don't worry about it. You don't have to pronounce it right.
No.
We don't have the time for that.
I'll explain to you in a minute why that's funny. Because I knew I was going to butcher it.